The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you find the commands of the Bible confusing, especially when there's so much disagreement amongst Christians as to how they should be followed. Some Christians, such as the Seventh-day Adventists, agree with the Jews and view Saturday as the Sabbath day. Others celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday. In fact, that's what most Christians do. Still others say that under the New Covenant, we don't have a Sabbath command at all, that the Sabbath has been fulfilled in Christ. Now, what the heck does that mean? Well, my friend, whatever that last one means, that is the position I take. The Sabbath has been fulfilled in Christ. We will discuss this provocative question later on in today's program with co-host Dana Wright, who has some Sabbath questions of her own. However, Dana will only be Dana Wright for one more week. She is about to become Dana Siegel. You will recall that we announced our engagement together over the air a few months ago. Well, the day of reckoning draweth nigh. So today we have a lighter show as Dana and I share our lives and our enthusiastic plans with you, some fun stories. And another reason we wanted to do a lighter show today is that last week's show was very heavy with all that's been going on in the news. And we do like to maintain variety. Dana, welcome to our program.
Thank you. And I'm going to make one correction. It isn't 1 week away. It's really only, well, if you count Saturday as the day we're getting married, it's really only 5 days away because today's already gone.
Well, I was on the metric system.
Okay. So in 5 days, we will be getting married on Saturday. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm excited too. I think women express their enthusiasm more than men do, but that doesn't mean that deep in the resources of my heart, I am not just as bubbling with it. I wouldn't have, it was my idea to even do a whole show about it. I wouldn't have wanted to do that if I wasn't excited.
That's true. You have been enthusiastic.
Well, after that proposal I put together.
That was amazing.
That should be good for the next 30 years.
Romantic. No, you just set the bar a whole lot higher.
Yeah, well.
No, you're not done yet.
Well, we have had an interesting trek together. You wanted to share a little bit about how we first met, I know.
Well, it was actually funny because the reason we even met in the first place was because of a Bible question that I had. And you had been the preacher at
Skyline. See, it started with the Bible. It continued with the Bible.
It really did. And it was funny because I had been going to Skyline for many years, and I had this question about scripture about raising my son. And it had bothered me for a long time, the direction in Proverbs that it says about raising your son. And I had wanted to ask a pastor at Skyline for a long time, but they all seemed, you know, so busy, and I didn't want to bother Pastor Garlow with this. It seemed like an insignificant question to me, even though it was a big one in my mind. And so
since that time, I've now been put on staff at Skyline.
Yes,
so
now you're
had I pastor, already been on staff,
I might have not.
You might have chosen not to bother me, and I might have never gotten married.
Exactly.
Wow. Good thing I went on staff later rather than sooner.
That's true. Well, you were the guest speaker that day, and you preached the sermon. And then in the bulletin, they gave all your contact information. And as I was sitting there, I thought, oh, this guy will know the answer to this question that I have. And so I went home and emailed you the question about that scripture that I had, and we just had a quick exchange about it. I was relieved to hear what you had to say about the passage, and I thanked you for it and just said, oh, if I ever see you in church again, I'll introduce myself. And several months actually went by before I saw you again. And so many months had gone by. I wasn't even sure it was you anymore. Because I think that was the guy that was up on stage, but I'm not sure. And
it's so, a pretty big church, and you're pretty far removed from on the stage.
Yeah, and it was several months later. So I really had not seen you in all that time, and so I thought, well, I'll take a chance because if it is him, I told him I would introduce myself. So I went up and just quickly, you know, asked, "Are you Bob Siegel?" And you turned and you looked at me. And I had a physical reaction to your eyes, which just blew my mind away because I'd never had that happen before. And you did say, "Yes, I am Bob Siegel." I thought, oh, good, at least I got that right. But then I couldn't think and I couldn't breathe because you're looking at me with these eyes. And I thought, what in the world is that? So I quickly just introduced myself. I said, "You probably don't remember who I am, but I sent a question to you." And you did actually remember. And identified enough that I knew you did remember our email exchange, which I was impressed with because it had been several months previous to that. And all I kept thinking was, okay, Dana, just breathe and get away. Just breathe and get away. So I thanked you. And before I walked away, you said, "Well, I do teach a Sunday school class." And, you know, 11
and I remember
o'clock.
You looked at me and you went, "You're kidding."
I did. I was just trying to be witty and cute. I wasn't feeling witty and cute. And so I walked away and went and sat down and tried to breathe and get my composure back. And I just remember looking in your eyes that first time was just so strange.
Okay, now are y'all paying attention to what she said about my eyes? Because when you work in radio, you always hear those,
you can't see your eyes.
You always hear those jokes like, "Oh, you've got a great face for radio. All right. Here's someone who didn't meet me on the radio, and she thought I had a great face anyway." So I hope you're out there taking notes.
And you have the most beautiful blue eyes that are very deep.
Well, actually, from my point of view, I thought Dana was very beautiful, too. Uh-huh. And it was a couple of months later, I believe, when you first came to the class. And I saw you sitting in the front row, and I said, "I think that's her because she's pretty, too. I think that's the same pretty lady that was going to start
We both
coming.
Weren't sure we were each other.
But we got together occasionally for coffee because you had some Bible questions.
Yes.
Let me tell you about something interesting that happened from my end now. And this is still going on before Dana and I went on our first date. And it actually involves music. As you know, if you've been following this show over the years, this is more than a talk show. I like to push the envelope a little bit. I like to do a lot with music. And often, in addition to our bumper music, which we play a little longer, I will play an entire song should the occasion or subject call for it. Well, today, on today's show, we actually have three songs to play. And let me tell you about the first one. The first one is a 60s oldie. It's called "Love Can Make You Happy." It was by a one-hit wonder group named Mercy. And this is a very special song for me because when I hear it, I think of Dana. Now, most couples have a song that they would call their own. This is our song, so much so that it will be sung live at our wedding. But today I'm going to play you the original recording from the radio. And the story behind it is this. A number of years ago, Sunday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, actually fell on a Sunday. So it was Valentine's Day. I was having some fun with it. I remember making fun of those Vermont teddy bear
yes,
commercials where they're saying, "Guys, you order one of these teddy bears and it's only going to take you 2 minutes online, but your girlfriend's going to think you put months behind." I said, very, very smart having that commercial on TV where the wife can be
Everybody
watching
can see it.
Everything about it. I'm, "Oh, guys, you'll put one over on her." But anyway, I was having some fun. And then I decided to play the song "Love You Make You Happy." Now, Dana had just started attending my Sunday school class. As I said, our interaction had been limited to times when we got together with Bible questions. But I was at that time finding Dana very attractive, yet didn't really know her well enough to be asking her out. Anyway, on Valentine's Day Sunday, I played the song "Love Can Make You Happy." And it was only many months later when Dana and I started dating, and she learned from me that I had actually been thinking about her while this song was playing on the air. But that's not the only reason I played it. I played it because sometimes it's fun to just act like a disc jockey. So here it is once again for all you lovebirds out there. Mercy singing "Love Can Make You Happy."
Sunshine in your
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Actually, I'm about to go away from home, so I will not be with you the next 2 weeks. Obviously, Dana and I will be on our honeymoon, but the Bob Siegel Show will still air. We have one repeat broadcast and one guest host the following week. Next week will be a repeat of my debate with gay activist Justin Lee, who believes one can practice a homosexual lifestyle and be a Christian at the same time, so long as the lifestyle is monogamous. I strongly disagree. However, we had a very friendly, very respectful discussion, more timely than ever in lieu of the recent Supreme Court decision. The following week, film critic Mark Boubian will be in for a live show to review some of the popular summer movies, and he might just be able to prevail upon Nick to jump in and offer a comment or two. I will be back with you in the studio on July the 26th, but meanwhile, I'm still here live with you today as the last week of bachelorhood begins, and I'm joined by the woman who will soon put an end to this bachelorhood, Dana Wright, soon to be Dana Siegel.
And I can hardly wait to be Mrs. Siegel. It was really fun. Right before school was out, my office manager was ordering the magnets for our calendar for our school for the next year. And it had Dana Wright on it, on the original order. And then all of a sudden she went, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And so she put on the new magnets, the new name. So I can hardly wait for them to come in. That was the first big change of our school paperwork. So,
yeah, another big change is that people who want to contribute are writing checks to Bob and Dana Siegel that we can't cash because there is no Dana Siegel yet.
Not yet, so, but there will be.
We sure appreciate the gesture.
Absolutely.
But we, make it out to her out. Or make it out to me.
It will work out just fine. Well, I want to go back to, we did meet for that first time. I couldn't breathe, looked into your eyes. Then we went to Sunday school. We
You seem to be able to breathe now. Is the romance already going out of this thing?
It is 5 years later. Okay. It's been a while. But go back to that.
Honeymoon's over. We haven't even gone on our honeymoon yet.
No, it's still wonderful. But our first date was interesting because it was, I remember it very clearly. I had been walking downtown San Diego with my mom on Saturday. I had taken her out for a pre-Mother's Day luncheon and a walk, and we were walking downtown, and you sent me a text that said, you know, I've been thinking about you a lot lately. And up until then, it had all been just very friends and a discussion about scripture. I mean, it was
God bless those texts. You can say whatever you want. You don't have to actually be there if it's a bad reaction.
So I'm walking downtown with my mom and this text comes in from Bob that was very much more friendly than anything we had talked about up to that point. And out loud, I said, oh my, when I read it. And my mom, I remember my mom saying, what's wrong? And I said, oh, nothing, nothing. And I just put my phone away and thought, oh, what in the world does that mean? Because that was the tipping point. And then you asked me out. We talked later that day and you asked me out for the next day.
I have to tell you, when I asked her out, she agreed to go out with me, but I said, do you like seafood?
And my answer was no.
But she didn't understand what I was really asking. I didn't give a rat's behind about the seafood. I do like seafood, actually. But I was thinking of taking her to Anthony's by the Bay. And I'm thinking, see, if I had phrased my question differently.
Yes.
I had said, hey, Dana, do you like nice romantic walks by the Bay?
Yes.
It would have been. But, you know, on face value, she says, well, no, I don't like seafood. So we went to?
We went to Olive Garden, which was my next. I love pasta. And I would have loved Anthony's, too, if you'd asked a little further. They do have a fabulous chicken dish, but I do love fish and chips. Fish that isn't real fishy tasting. I don't like lobster or crab.
It's just such a lesson in communication.
It definitely was.
You were responding more like the man normally responds.
Yes.
Just the literal
cut
face
the
value
chase,
instead of reading between the... However, we did go to the ocean afterwards anyway.
You
so
did.
It wasn't a total loss.
You took me down to La Jolla Cove and we walked down there. And what was really funny is that I only accepted your... asking for a date by saying, I'm just interested in being friends.
And I didn't believe that for a second. But
I
just said,
serious.
Yeah, I know you were. Yeah. And if I really thought you were serious, I'd have said, never mind. But I just said, oh, that's fine. We'll be friends. And then during the date, I'd say things like, so are friends able to hold hands?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess so. Oh, can friends hug? So, yeah, friends.
Bob
friends.
Asked me, what? So what are the friend rules as we're walking down by La Jolla Cove?
I just had some fun with it.
It was fun,
But see, things have changed, and I've learned this because, you know, for years I was married, and then I started dating again, and I learned that the lingo changes because back when I was in high school and college, many, many, many years ago, way back when the Dead Sea was still alive, when somebody said they just wanted to be friends, they meant I'm not interested in you that way. And I've since learned that a lot of times friends just means, oh, yeah, I do find you attractive, but I need things to be slow and we need to move at a slower pace. And so I've come to realize that a lot of times that's all a person means. Not that I moved particularly slow anyway,
I really did mean friends because I was terrified of another relationship.
You thought you meant that. I didn't believe it for a second.
But in my head, I really did mean that. Really meant a friend.
We were hugging on our first date and kissing on our second. I leave it to you, ladies and gentlemen. Was that friends or wasn't it?
No, that hugging was making me nervous. I was getting nervous of it. We were crossing that friend line. But it really was funny because I was so amazed by your intellect and your knowledge of the Bible and all of just,
you know, Dana, I think you and I are going to get along just fine in this marriage.
I think so. That's actually what I was really impressed with was all of that. So I just wanted to have more discussions about scripture and so sure we can be friends. Yeah. I can ask all the Bible questions I want. So anyway, it was fun. That first date was really interesting.
The friendship, as it were, didn't last too long.
No, it didn't. But I maintained that friend thing for a long time.
Oh, yeah. You're very good at that.
I was good at that. Anyway, so fast forward 5 years later.
We're now engaged. And
yes.
It was almost a month ago now that you had your bridal shower.
I did. And that was
My best friend, Jim Karkagas, who you sometimes hear in a commercial. He does the Call Bob Now. As it turned out, they actually had my bachelor party on the same day as the bridal shower.
They did. So we had a bridal shower tea, which was lovely. Lovely women from our church and some close friends and my daughters and Bob's daughter. And it was just a lovely time. And I kept thinking, this is so not how the boys would do it.
Yeah, the women are going around and Dana's explaining how we met and they want to hear all the stories.
I brought the proposal
The guys
album.
Meeting, we're playing poker, smoking cigars. I don't smoke, but I have some friends that do. They bring some nice stogies with them. And I was just salivating over having one of the, I don't eat candy anymore except for special occasions just to keep my weight down. So I was just salivating over those big barrel of red vines. And I actually won $10 playing poker.
See, there you go. And see, the girls, we were so happy with lovely tea. We had china place settings all over for many people. They were all over this lady's house. It was gorgeous. No, we had tea and homemade scones
well, that
and
sounds
finger
almost
sandwiches.
As exciting
it
as
was.
The bachelor party.
It was, and it was very beautiful. We had a wonderful time. But then I know later that day, you guys had
a
great time.
Just, this is a Christian show. Let me reassure a lot of you out there. There was no girl popping out of the cake. It was very tame compared to what you would expect at a lot of bachelor parties. But my friends Jim and Tim did take two songs, and we're going to play one of them. The first one is Ghost Riders in the Sky, and they rewrote the lyrics to have some fun.
They did.
At my expense. And anything they said about me incorrectly in the song, I'll clear up after the song. Here is a new version of Ghost Riders in the Sky singing about Bob going on a date.
On a bright and early morning, Bob rolled out of bed one day. Stumbled to the shower, but the cat wanted to play. Not today, dear Riley, for I've got a breakfast date with a lovely lady, Dana. And I don't want to be late. His shoes were black and shiny, and his shirt was really neat. It wasn't that old blue one that he wears three times a week. But on the road he thought of something he forgot to bring, his shiny golden coupon, 2-for-1 at Burger King. Yippee-yay, yippee-yo. I've heard my show, he said, I do it pretty well. I've written a few books, she said, that doesn't ring a bell. But I've heard your name before, I think it was that one-act play you wrote, Eternal Reed. But Bob, I like you anyway. Yippee-yi-yay. Bob Siegel's got a dame. Oh yeah, Bob Siegel's got a dame. Bob Siegel's got a dame.
Riders in the Skies, perhaps you have not heard it before. I do have to clear up a couple of things. First of all, it is true that blue is my favorite color, and it's true that I wear a lot of blue, but I have a lot of blue shirts.
You do.
Different
you have
kinds,
many,
different shades,
many blue
navy
shirts.
Blue. Like, Dana, you can testify to
you
that.
You do have many, many blue shirts.
Yeah.
And just
so my
a few
horse's
of the other
patoot
colors.
Friend was having a little fun at my expense, which is
shirt.
Fine. Which is fine.
Yes.
I was willing to play the song. I was willing to be a good sport, but I do want to set the record straight.
And I do like Burger King. So I would have been good for a 2-for-1.
You know, he can't take complete credit for that joke. Years ago on a top 10 list of David Letterman's, one of the top 10 ways to tell your date is not having a good time, one of them was, she doesn't even finish her Whopper. So I kind of like that.
That makes it more sense on that one.
Right. Now, the next song was done to the tune of Do It Again. And here they still talked a little bit about me dating, but they talk about the fact that I've lost a lot of weight, which that's fine. If you're going to talk about my appearance, say something like that. They talk a lot about the radio show. I have some fun at the expense of the radio show. So let's have a new version of Do It Again as it was heard at the gala premiere of Bob Siegel's Bachelor Party.
Sunday, there's Bob talking about the spirit, and you'll wish that it was Monday, so you wouldn't have to hear it. Well, he talks about the government, and he talks about the movies, and then in between the segments, well, the music's pretty groovy. Getting merry again, dial turning round and round, and he's getting married again. Well, you know, when Bob met Dana, he took her to Disneyland. Now he always wants to be there with a fast pass in his hand. And he travels to the redwoods, gets up at the crack of dawn, and goes strolling through the forest with his Mickey Mouse ears on. Yeah, hey, good job, Bob, merry again. Dumbo goes round and round. A good job, Bob, married again. So Bob wanted to get healthy, to be ready for his mate. So he rearranged his lifestyle in a bid to lose some weight. Said goodbye to all the candy, and you never see his smoke. Though he sometimes will eat fast food, he drinks only Diet Coke. Yeah, he got thin, then married again. Scales spinning round and round. He got thin, then married again.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle, so when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's new fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, is now available on Kindle, Nook, and in print copy. Check out some of the wonderful customer reviews on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Wow, what an incredible story. Well written, believable characters. The story takes twists and turns that keep surprising the reader. Although it is written from the perspective of a preteen, it is most appealing to an adult. Takes one back to those feelings and longing for adventure. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. To the Bob Siegel Show, and I love the bumper music, especially when it comes from famous musicals and operas and plays. That's one of the other things that we have in common is we love theater and musicals, especially with you.
Well,
being
now
a
that
playwright.
Was from Phantom of the Opera,
I
which was really
that.
Broadway style music. If it was real opera, I wouldn't play it on this show if my life depended on it.
Real opera's great, too.
Oh, no.
But Bob doesn't think so.
No.
But it is, it's wonderful.
You're free to think so. It'll just never be here on this show. That's all.
But we do love that together. And going to the theater is one of our favorite things, going to movies. And then I have to listen to Bob critiquing those things because he is so good at all of that and understands all of those special things about that. But one of the things that drew me to Bob was that he, one of the things that finally cinched it for me was when I found out one of the things you did to rearrange your lifestyle was you started getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning because he knew that's when I would get up to start getting ready for school. And he would get up at five to pray for me. And he said, it was the only way I knew how to be in your world at that time. And that was so touching to me that this man, and I didn't know that for many months.
We were broken up at that time. We were on a hiatus.
Yeah. And
so
I did not.
That made it even more touching.
And I did not know that you were doing that. And so when I heard that, I thought, okay, this guy really is amazing. And so for months, Bob got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and prayed for me.
He still does that now.
He still does that now and sends me
a good morning text. And now I text her and tell her I'm praying for her.
Yes.
So that she thinks I'm praying for her and then I can go back to bed.
Well, he says he's getting up at five and praying for me.
I really
you
pray
do.
For
I
you.
Know.
I do.
So I love that. So besides doing the other things that you've changed in your lifestyle, that was a very cool thing that you did for me. And that's when I thought, okay, this guy is really special. I also want to share this really fun thing that happened a few weeks ago as I'm shopping and getting stuff ready for the wedding. I love Joann's and all of these places, and I'm doing the flowers and all that. I'm having a great time doing all this. And I go to Joann's and I'm checking out. I have this beautiful flower thing that I'm working on. And the checkout lady says, you know, what are you doing with these? I said, they're for a wedding. She said, oh, what church? And I said, Skyline. And she stops and just looks at me, gives me this really different look. And she said, what is your name? And I said, Dana Wright. And she just looked at me and then said, Bob Siegel. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so cool. I'm going to tell her that's the guy I'm going to marry. Like, I'm not clicking on this yet that she knows, she gets the whole thing. And I said, oh, that's the man I'm marrying. Like, this is going to be news to her. And she just looks at me. She said, I know all about it because she had heard our radio show. She was so cute. And her name is Agnes. So hello, Agnes.
See, I keep telling Dana what a good, distinct radio voice she has. And so here's somebody recognized her and knew us only from having listened to the program.
It was amazing. And she was so sweet and helped me so much. And she was so excited about us getting married and the flowers and everything. So I just, Joann's is a fun place for me anyway to be, but Agnes made it extra special that day. So shout out to Agnes.
And,
Thank you.
And shout out to Joann's, which now owes us money for a free plug and commercial here too. Real special shout out to Joann's.
No, just Agnes. Thank you.
All right.
But I don't know. Is there more that we wanted to talk about our first meeting? Or are we going to
go ahead and move into whatever you
okay,
like?
Okay, because I think it kind of sends us into the next part about the Sabbath, because one of the things I know as you rearranged your lifestyle and started getting up earlier and so on, you also rearranged and worked on when you ate and fasting and all of that. And so that brought me to some questions about the Sabbath and fasting and other things. So can we move into that?
Of course.
And work on that. So I was reading.
Well, we teased the audience with that at the beginning of the show, so we better move into it eventually.
All right. Well, there we go. So we're going to move into the question that I had for Bob was about when exactly is the Sabbath? What day is the Sabbath? And he was going to answer that for me for the first time. Do you want to?
Okay. Well, there is a whole denomination that I mentioned at the beginning of the show called the Seventh-day Adventists. And they claim that Saturday is the true Sabbath day, not Sunday. So they hold their church services on Saturday. They even have Sabbath school instead of Sunday school. So what day is it? Well, let's quickly deal with the easy part of the question, and then we'll get into the heart of it. For the record, Saturday is the Sabbath day, not Sunday. The Seventh-day Adventists are correct about the day. However, we're avoiding an even more obvious question. So what? It's not as if they're giving us a new revelation here. Those of us who worship on Sunday are already very aware that the original Jewish Sabbath was on Saturday. They know this even if they go their whole lives without meeting a Seventh-day Adventist. They do not worship on Sunday because they are confused as to what day of the week it is. They worship on Sunday because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. There is no command in the New Testament as to what day one must go to church. It just so happens that Sunday was chosen for a particular reason. And this tradition has remained. It's become a very convenient day because now most people get Sundays off. But that was the idea, that Jesus rose from the dead. It was not originally an attempt to switch the Sabbath day. Now, it is true that sometimes Christians aware that Saturday was the original Sabbath will still incorrectly refer to Sunday as if it's a new Sabbath. I say incorrectly because Sunday is anything but a day of rest. And that is what the original Sabbath was about, rest. True, it was meant to be a day of reflection as well, but primarily the Sabbath was a day when people stopped working. Exodus 31:15. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a question for you. Is Sunday a restful day for your pastor? It's probably his busiest day of the week. Is he being a bad example by working hard in front of us? What about the rest of the staff? What about the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the ushers, those who work in the nursery? In fact, to any church member, Sunday is not supposed to be a passive experience, but very active with heartfelt worship, meaningful fellowship and interaction, even the confession of sins. Is this a rest? If you think it is, I hope I never go on a vacation with you. On my day off, I lay on the beach. I don't go to church. In fact, on my day off, I can think of about 100 things I'd rather do than go to church.
So are Christians commanded to take a Sabbath day or whenever it is during the week?
You're asking, regardless of which day it is, are we commanded to at least make some day the Sabbath day?
Correct.
No, we are not commanded that. Taking a day off to rest is not a bad idea, but if you're asking me whether it's a command, no, it is not. Jesus came to offer a new covenant. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The law and the prophets is another way of saying Old Testament, Old Covenant. As Christians, we are no longer under the law, but rather a fulfillment of the law. Now, what exactly does this mean? In what way is the law fulfilled? To start with, instead of outward commands, God offers a relationship with his Spirit who changes our hearts and makes us hopefully so loving that we no longer need commands such as don't kill or don't steal or don't mess around with your neighbor's wife. If we are already loving, if we are already unselfish, if we are already treating people the way we want to be treated, then those incentives will come naturally. Another place Jesus said, "In everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." We call this a fulfillment of the moral law. But the other part of the law, ritual law, was fulfilled through Jesus's death on the cross. The animal sacrifices of old were a foreshadowing of what Jesus would later do for all people. The blood of lambs and bulls provided a picture of atonement so that people needing to be saved by Jesus could be saved before he even came. Now, admittedly, there is some confusion and some controversy over exactly what kind of law Sabbath was, ritual or moral. I would place it in the category of a ritual, such as other commanded feasts and days. But wherever we anchor this custom, it is undeniable that the Sabbath was a part of the Mosaic law, one way or the other, And this law has been fulfilled by Jesus, who asks us to live under the new covenant. New covenant. When people like the Seventh-day Adventists single out a command such as the Sabbath as a law that we must continue to honor, they open up a whole new can of worms that Paul addressed when he wrote the Galatians. The Galatians had isolated circumcision as a practice to continue. Even under the new covenant, Paul told them that if they are going to return to the law, they must rebase the entire law. You cannot return to part of the law without embracing the entire law. They could not cherry-pick the ones they wanted and ignore all the others. Now, nobody today claiming to follow the law takes Paul's words to heart. Oddly enough, the Seventh-day Adventists themselves serve as the greatest example of the irony. Have they returned to the animal sacrifices, almost half of the laws? Of course not. But they have added a new prohibition against eating meat. Yes, my Adventist friends are vegetarians. This is somewhat perplexing, in as much as meat was not only allowed in the Old Testament, but actually commanded in certain feasts like the Passover. So why aren't they honoring that part of the law? But I don't want to address this question through arguments of logic or consistency alone. The scripture actually settles the issue quite clearly. I'm reading now from Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. It's difficult to hold on to some kind of New Testament Sabbath command after reading a verse like that.
So I can understand how Jesus fulfilled the animal sacrifices. That makes sense to me. I can also see how the Holy Spirit put God's law into our hearts, fulfilling that moral law. But the hard part for me is, how does Jesus fulfill the Sabbath? That I don't understand.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we return.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
Theology for your early Sunday evening. That's the way the guy in Play Misty for Me talked when he was on the air. See how much I'm really a disc jockey at heart, even though I'm technically a talk show host. We've been talking about the Sabbath. We've also been sharing some stories as Dana and I do a little pre-celebration and are looking forward to getting married this Saturday. I did want to, before we go back to the Sabbath thing, there was one funny incident that Dana and I had. Yeah, a lot when we announced in our Sunday school class they were getting married, the first thing somebody did was shoot up their hand and say, are you going to Disneyland for your honeymoon? Indeed, we are. I said, well, now, where else would we be going?
Of course.
We did a whole radio show about
Disney.
And what was fun is my new niece, Sharon, who I mentioned about a month and a half ago, daughter of my sister, who I never knew had existed, had been put up for adoption.
Story.
My sister had passed away. When Sharon was getting reacquainted with us, first question she asked me is if I was a Disneyland pass holder. She lives in Anaheim, goes to Disneyland 3 days a week.
Several times a week. Yeah, just for dinner, just to hang out.
And when Dana and I went to Anaheim to meet with her in person, we said, you know, you might be interested. We did a whole radio show about Disneyland. She says, I know, I already went to your website and listened to it. So,
we had
an experience when we went back to Disneyland
in February.
I still had, they have different levels of card. I had the deluxe, which is the second to the best. The different levels mean there's certain days where you can't go. The gold is where you could go at any time. And as a somewhat belated Christmas present, Dana had bought me a gold pass and then was going to get herself a gold pass. But we went to get the gold pass activated. And boy, you know, you've heard of Goofy. You've heard of Mickey. I want you to learn about another Disney character named Ron. Ron's the guy that works in the booth. Tell him a little bit about what happened,
Dina.
Now,
my take on Ron was that he really was trying to help, but I know you don't think
Ron tried very hard to help after I told him that I wanted to speak to a manager and that his position was completely indefensible. And seconds later, he got very helpful.
Basically, what Ron was sharing with us was that you could not do anything with that pass that day. You couldn't convert it. You couldn't add anything in.
Okay, you got to get the drama here, folks. I already have a deluxe pass.
And it doesn't expire for another two months.
It doesn't expire for another 2 months. So I said, well, can we combine them so that,
can we upgrade,
I get a gold.
Because you couldn't have gone in that day.
Yeah, and then get an extra. And see, I was planning on going in that day by activating the gold. But I mentioned the deluxe pass because I said, I have a couple months. He says, can't do that. We don't combine. So I said, fine. Well, then, I can't use the deluxe today. So just go ahead and activate the gold. He says, can't activate the gold because your deluxe is still activated. I said, well, then deactivate the deluxe. He says, I can't do that because it's in our computer system. I said, you're telling me somebody can't go into your computer system, press a button, and deactivate. He says, I cannot do that. I said, that is completely unacceptable. I want to talk to the person in charge. Then he came back in 30 seconds and said, what I'm going to do for you is deactivate your deluxe. Yeah, after I gave that little threat.
Yeah, I know.
You
I
heard think it? He was just... There's Goofy, there's Donald, there's Mickey, there's Sleeping Beauty, and there's Ron. A whole new way to look at Disneyland.
And I do think Ron was really trying to help. You know, Disney's goal is to make money. And
oh my
so
gosh.
That...
I remember the first time we went to renew one of our cards and it was going to be $75 more. They said, well, we have Cars Land now.
Yes, we wondered why.
I'll tell you what, we won't go to Cars Land. Just knock off the $75.
That didn't work either. But we did go ahead and we did get our cards that day and we were able to go in and you were able to use your other one because otherwise you would have had to sit outside the park and I would have had to go
I am admitting that Ron was incredibly helpful.
He was.
After I told him I wanted to see a manager.
He was. And we are so looking forward to being there on our honeymoon. And it was really fun because when we met Sharon for the first time, we told her we were going to go ahead and go over to Disneyland since we're already in Anaheim.
That's the advantage of having a pass. You can go drop in for an
hour
if you want.
So we were going to go for the afternoon and we invited her, but she had other plans. And then sure enough, about 45 minutes later, we got a text from her saying, hey, I'm here. I've changed my plans. So she joined us.
She took us into a swanky restaurant.
Amazing. What was it? Carthay. Theater. Very
and she
cool.
She pointed out that actors sometimes get private little booths and she pointed out Nicolas Cage sitting in there.
Yeah, he was in there with his family. It was very cool.
Privately where they don't want to be stared at. So what did I do? I went and stuck my head in and stared at him to make sure I saw Nicolas
He was
Cage.
Busy ordering. So
he's not even
notice.
One of my favorite actors, but it was still pretty cool to see
it was,
a real
it
actor.
It was very cool, but it was amazing because I thought you and I knew a lot about Disneyland and boy, Sharon just ran circles around us on her knowledge.
But you
got to
admit the Ron story is more interesting than the Nicolas Cage story.
It was pretty incredible. And we laughed the rest of the day going in using our passes.
Well, we better get back to the Sabbath before we run out of time.
Yes, let's get back to how does Jesus fulfill the Sabbath?
That is an excellent question. And the book of Hebrews provides a long, detailed, complicated answer. But relax, everybody. Here are the cliff notes. Here's what Sabbath really means. Originally, it was God who rested from creation on the seventh day. To some of the ancient rabbis, this did not mean a literal 24-hour day. They believed that the seventh day or Sabbath day continues and that enjoying God's creation is an ongoing, nonstop celebration of the Sabbath day. Had life remained a paradise, this rest or celebration would have been easier to understand. Unfortunately, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, everything changed, including the world itself. I'm reading from Romans 8. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. When Jesus returns, he will restore the world to the Garden of Eden-type paradise it once was. This means enjoying the Sabbath and living in God's kingdom are one and the same. Christ has not returned yet, but he does offer a relationship with you now, a relationship in which the kingdom of God can rule in your heart and give you peace. This experience, according to the author of Hebrews, provides a sample or foreshadowing of Christ's future kingdom. He called it tasting of the powers of the age to come. In short, being delivered from sin, placed in harmony with God's kingdom, his rule, and his paradise creation is the authentic way to experience the Sabbath. It's true that God also gave the ancient Hebrews a day of the week that looked toward this, a day to rest from their labors and meditate more on him. This is still a good idea as far as practical advice goes, but there is no longer any commandment or any holiness associated with a particular day of the week. What is special is resting from our own labors and basking in our relationship with the Spirit of God, who gives us a sample of what it will be like when the whole world is restored to God's paradise, also called God's Sabbath.
Okay, so that helps understand that question about fulfilling how Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath and where we stand on that. A little sidestep from that. I know you take Mondays off as your day off just because of your work schedule.
Yeah, Sunday is definitely not a day off for you. I teach in the morning. I do the radio show in the evening.
Yeah,
Sunday's
one of your busier days.
It's one of my busier work days.
So one last question, kind of a sidestep from that Sabbath question, is under the new covenant, are we commanded to take a day off at all?
No, we're not commanded to take a day off at all.
No particular day is the Sabbath, and we aren't commanded to take it off.
I take Monday off because it's still good to take a day off, and I take it off as a rest. Jesus did tell his disciples, come apart and rest for a while, but the idea of a certain day being holy, we're no longer under that covenant.
And I had also asked you at the beginning of this when I was reading those different scriptures, besides the particular day a Sabbath might be, also about fasting, and I know you fast on Sundays.
But I don't fast on Sundays because I think of Sunday as a special holier day. I fast on Sundays because, fasting and prayer is something that's it's good to be in the habit of that. It also is helpful for losing weight. And so on two counts, for God and for myself, I fast. Since Sunday is a busy day for me, it's just a better day to fast because I'm more focused on my work. Also, on the other days where I'm doing some of the harder work, it's more creative. I'm writing, I'm doing research. You kind of need to eat to keep the brain going. So Sunday, there's this rhythm to the day, and I'm on adrenaline, and I'm teaching, and I'm doing the show, and the preparation is done, and it's easy to just go boom, 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 and not even think about food, unless somebody brings donuts to Sunday school.
Well, and to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually for the
All
day,
right.
too.
So. Dana Wright, the next time you're on the show with me, you will be Dana Siegel.
Woo-hoo!
We'll be back in 2 weeks. Wait. Repeat broadcast next week and substitute guest host the week after. I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.